I know I'm gonna get got. But I'm gonna get mine more than I get got, though.
Welcome back for another episode of Lock It or Leave It. We have been away for a while, but we are back with new and improved ways to interact with our content. For starters, we now have a website, so you can go to www.lockitorleaveit.org to find great sports articles, betting information for all my fellow degenerate gamblers, and also all of our podcast episodes. And lastly, our contact information. Hit us up through the form on the website, ask us questions, or maybe if you just have a take that you want to be heard with, we're all ears. So we're trying to consistently bring the best quality product to you guys. So if you fuck with what we're doing, give us a 5-star rating, and if you're kind enough, leave us a good review. Thanks again, and without further ado, let's get to the good stuff. What is good, guys? Welcome back. This is episode 27 of Lock It or Leave It. We're recording this on May 12th. Before we get started, I want to throw a quick shout out to all the FSU players who were either drafted or signed with an NFL organization. Wishing the best of luck to each of them in their future professional careers. But as always, I'm your host, Jay, and joining me as usual is my co-host, Cam. What's going on?
What's up, guys? Yeah, definitely check out the website. You can call out all of Jay's bad opinions out there. And I'm excited to talk about today's content. My Bears actually had a good draft for once, which was mind-blowing. So I'm really excited to get into this one. Let's get into it.
Yeah, so we have two guests on the podcast today. Reoccurring one, so let's just hop right into it. Chad, how are you? How's Boca treating you, man?
Doing well. It's actually storming outside right now, but it hasn't rained months, so that's a good thing. We're taking the next step, man. We got a website. I know we're on TikTok because Cam loves that stuff. He's a big TikToker, so we'll go check that out. I feel like it's been a while. I'm ready to get back into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Then last but not least, we have our NFL expert, the guy who missed every single draft bet that he put on. Blake, how are you doing, man? How are you?
Yeah, man, pretty good other than draft night. Terrible betting night. But yeah, like Jay said, shout out to those FSU guys who are looking to make a career for themselves. And we're going to break down the draft and a little update. Also, just about 50 minutes ago, the NFL released the schedule for this year, so we're going to break that down as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopping right off of that, we have a great lineup for you today. First, like Blake said, the NFL schedule just dropped. We'll tell you which of these games are must-watch TV, and also we'll highlight the shit bowls, the games you don't want to be watching because you don't want to see the Detroit Lions versus the, the Jets on week 4. Running off of that, we're also going to dive into the strength of divisions within each conference, and we'll be taking and talking about our predictions for offensive and defensive rookie of the year, along with our initial thoughts on the QBs that were drafted in the first round. And lastly, a small tease, the NBA playoffs are right around the corner. We'll tell you why you can't afford to miss it. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this break. All right, so we are back, and we're just going to hop into the week 1 schedule. It just came out at 8 o'clock, so we're hopping on this as soon as possible, as early as it came out. We'll start off with the opener to the NFL season. It's going to be the Cowboys going into Tampa and taking on the reigning Super Bowl champions. So let me just pose this question first on to Chad about how do you feel this game's going to be? The spread is at -6.5. They expect Brady to at least get him by a touchdown. Fans are going to be 100% capacity, I think, back in that stadium. They're going to have the Super Bowl ring, banner, ceremony, everything. It's going to be rowdy as hell in there. How do you feel they're going to fare? And do you think they live up to that spread at 6.5 for the home opener?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Bucks, and it's Tom Brady. I know he's getting older, but I mean, same thing we said when he made his Super Bowl run. You can't doubt him. And -6, I mean, it's not great. I don't know if for sure they'll cover it, but I think they'll get close. I like their odds. I think if you buy 2 points, make it -4. That's a winner right there.
Yeah, let me throw this to Cam, because talking about buying points, always eat your vegetables. Cam, talk about what you would do for that bet at -6.5. Is there any chance you would take Cowboys +6.5 and buy it up to 8 possibly?
Yeah, I need to get that on a t-shirt that says always eat your vegetables for sure when you're buying them points. But I actually think this game might be a little closer than the spread would indicate. Number one, Dak is coming back after being fully out for the year. This offensive line got a little reloaded and stuff, and Zeke did have a bad year last year, I would say, for his standards. So I do expect him to bounce back a little bit. And I think this game could be closer, so I'm kind of leaning more towards the Cowboys spread in this game. I still believe Tampa Bay is going to pull it out. Like, I'm tired of betting against Brady. I don't make that mistake anymore. But I like 7.5 Cowboys. I would buy 1 point, not two. I don't need the 8.5. I like 7.5 towards the Cowboys in this game. And I think that I think watching the ring ceremony too is gonna fire these Cowboys players up a little bit. And I think this could be a pretty good game.
Yeah, well, to make the case for the Bucks, I mean, they went on a 8-game winning streak to end out the season in the playoffs. They kind of got their foot halfway through the season because they needed that continuity. They needed those reps to play together, really gel as a team, know where the other was going to be before it even happened. You need that camaraderie. So now they have that, and they didn't have that Chiefs syndrome where the Chiefs said, oh, man, we just won this ring. We're on top of the world. The Bucks said, you know what? We just started playing good. Right when it got fun, that's when it stopped. We're ready to go right back out there and, you know, just pick up where we started off. I think that Brady is one of those people who, from week one, he's going to forget about what happened last year. He's going to forget about the ring. He's going to tell everybody in that locker room, look, this is a new season. If we want to win another ring and go back to back, we have to repeat with the same intensity, the same vigor that we did the first time. Blake, how do we feel about that? How do you think that this team will fare in week one and maybe ultimately for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I love -6.5. I'll take it all day. I think this – I would not be surprised if this – by the time this game happens, it's at 7.5. And I think it's like where a lot of the money's going to be. And some people are going to be like, oh, let's fade the public here. But no, I think this team is really, really good. And I think that Dak is still, you know, coming back from an injury. That defense is still is not good. So Tampa -6.5.
Yeah, well, I think it kind of goes along with the Knicks and these big franchises, these big overarching franchises. The Lakers fall in there, and just like what we were talking about, how the Cowboys fall in there, a lot of their fans love to bet on their games. Same thing with the Yankees. They have the spread specifically to entice those fans. Oh, it's like that. Let me grab it. It's not a good line. Every time they try to fish them with it, if you're a Yankees fan and run a 10-game lose streak, the money line's still at -110. Because you're saying there's no way I can get this great of value on a Yankees Bronx Bomber squad. So it's the same thing with the Cowboys. We'll see how many people take the bait. It's going to be very interesting. Let's see if Micah Parsons, the Cowboys first round pick, could be an immediate impact there. Yeah, Bucks brought everybody back. So it's going to be interesting to see how they just go right back on the field and pick up where they left off. But going on to the next game, we will be talking about which game are we going to talk about? The Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots. Chad, I'll start off with you. Talk about how you feel about your Dolphins going into week one. Spread is at +2.5. Just talk about everything that you're thinking.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about this one because the last time they played, I was actually there in person. So I got to witness Cam Newton just throwing it straight to the dirt and missing every single throw possible. So I love the spread. I love the odds. I mean, them to make us an underdog, even though it's an away game. I think the Dolphins got more firepower. We crushed the draft. We got Waddle. We got some nice defensive picks. Patriots, I mean, yeah, they definitely got a bunch of free agency pickups. Got some guys that didn't play last season because they opted out. It's going to be a good matchup. It really is. But I think we're going to come out swinging, man. I like the Dolphins a lot, +2.5. You can do anything with that, and that's hitting, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll see how Bill responds to Tom Brady winning a ring if he comes back out in week one just ready to spew vengeance on the rest of the league. I mean, as much as the Dolphins got better, the Patriots came back with a loaded roster too. They got some wide receivers to help out Cam in the beginning because I don't think Mac Jones is your week one starter. So I think Cam still has that mantle right now. We'll see how he fares. I mean, he has now an offseason to really get to know the program. He came in at the tail end of free agency, right before the season last year. So we'll see what he'll do with Josh McDaniels there, Bill Belichick. And then hopefully Mac Jones can kind of pick up from Cam, because as much as we may shit on Cam, he's one of the first guys to spark the whole black generation of QBs. There's a lot of stuff you can learn from him. I think Mac is going to soak it all in. Cam, how do you feel about that?
When I first saw this spread and I saw that the Patriots were -2.5, it kind of got me thinking a little bit. But then, like, you got to think about, obviously, the Patriots are not known for going after big free agents. And they signed Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, which are both big tight ends that are one of the better tight ends at their position, I would say. Like, not the elite of the elite, but both solid wideouts for sure. And the thing about when you have two tight ends is you don't know when you're playing defense, you don't know where the ball is going because you can't look at the tight end. If you can put them both on each side, then it's harder to figure out what kind of defense to call. The Patriots also got a lot of, as Chad mentioned, a lot of defensive players opted out last year that were starters that are all coming back this year. And Bill Belichick's still one of the best minds in football for sure. And he just had to watch Tom Brady win a Super Bowl this year. And historically, I know Tua's not a rookie QB anymore, but I wouldn't say he's experienced yet. And young QBs do struggle against Bill Belichick. So I hate to say it, but I'm riding with the Pats on this one.
Yeah, Bill Belichick is known for putting young QBs in the torture chamber, just absolutely sending defensive packages they've never even imagined that they'd be seeing when they were in college. It's a whole new game in the NFL, but they're still an NFL team. And guess what? You have one of his apprentices in Brian Flores, who is doing a very good job at coaching over there in Miami. So we'll see what he's doing, because now that they know who they're playing, you can already bet that they're game planning for week one as we speak already. They're trying to get any advantage that they possibly can. Blake, how do you feel about the Patriots and Dolphins with this spread at +2.5?
This game, I don't know. I don't know what to think. I like the 2.5 for Miami a lot, but then after what Cam just said, it also makes me, you know, just the fact that Bill Belichick, he does have the whole offseason to game plan for Tua in that offense. So originally I was going to take the +2.5, but I think maybe the Patriots is the better move.
Yeah, if you're talking about maybe the Patriots going into Miami and then having to get that, then maybe I'd be going for the plus. But right now with Miami Dolphins going into Foxborough, 4 o'clock game in Gillette, it's going to be rowdy in that stadium. They're going to have some fans back. I really think that Miami won't be able to keep up with the Patriots, and I think that defense is really going to overarch the whole thing. Cam and then Chad, because I know Chad's a little upset with this.
Blake, one thing I just want to say, I'm glad I could win you over with my argument real quick. But one thing I also wanted to add is I'm glad you mentioned that Bill Belichick has the whole offseason prepared for Tua, which I did bring up. And the Patriots do struggle when they go to Miami. I will give them that. But when warm weather teams have to go into Foxborough, that can definitely play a factor for sure. And I don't know, bro. I'm not betting against Bill on this one. What do you think, Chad?
I mean, you made a couple good points. You know, the South team going up north, the fact that they do have all season to prepare. But you guys are counting out the Dolphins. I know they're new to this. I know that they're not known for being a good team, but you got to give them some credit, man. I mean, you're just giving the Patriots all the potential energy. The Miami Dolphins have that kinetic energy, and they're running with it. I think you shouldn't count them out, and I think we're going to prove you guys wrong. Can't believe I'm the only one.
Chad, are you saying you are taking Dolphins +2.5 then, week one?
Oh, yeah, I'm going with the Fins.
For sure?
Absolutely.
Do you know on average, how many times do you think Bill Belichick starts out 0-1?
I don't even want to know your analytic bullshit. All I know is go for the Fins.
All right, bro. We'll get back to that.
Well, yeah. So going to the next game, before we do that, I want to talk about the little kink that the NFL did. They wanted to make sure that they hedged their bet, and they made a great hedge. The NFL said, you know what, Aaron Rodgers, we really want to see Aaron Rodgers in a mid-afternoon or late game. So who's playing each other? They have the Packers playing the Saints at 4:25 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Drew Brees will be retired, but that's still a great game. A lot of history between those two rivals. However, here's the hedge. they said, well, you know what? With all these rumors going on, if he's somehow out of the Green Bay Packers jersey, we're going to make sure the Broncos are going to New York at 8:20 at the same time. It's going to be very interesting. Actually, 4 o'clock. So they hedged their bet saying, either way, we're going to get, hopefully, Aaron Rodgers in this slot of the day. We really think that maybe Aaron Rodgers leaves the Packers. It's up in thin air for anybody to go and look at. But we'll go to the next game, which is the Browns versus the Chiefs. Talking about this one a little bit, the Chiefs' issue we saw in the Super Bowl was they had Mahomes running for his life. And what did the Browns do? Even more bolster their defensive line, adding Jadeveon Clowney to pair with Myles Garrett. They're going to be coming after Patrick Mahomes. We'll see how they fare in week one. Blake, I'll give this to you straight out. How do you think the Chiefs fare? The spread's at -5.5. I don't know how I feel about that spread. It's kind of a trick spread because it's not a touchdown, but also 6 points gets the job done. So how do you feel about it?
Yeah, so I'm taking Kansas City -5.5. And if this game were in the later in the year, it would be a really, really good game. But I saw a stat today. It's like Mahomes in September is, I think, 10-0, 30 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Andy Reid's known for being one of the best in September. And but the Cleveland Browns are going to be a very good team. That roster is loaded, but I'll take the Chiefs week one.
Yeah, the Browns, after having such a good season, are going to have a lot of expectations on their shoulders. We'll see how Baker can handle that and keep that going. Chad, what do you want to add on about this game?
So, yeah, a lot of things that Martino said are kind of like things that you see on, like, BR betting, you know, that try to convince you to bet for that game, bet for that spread, because it's an enticing bet. 5.5, like you said, it's less than a touchdown. Everyone sees that. It's like, oh, the Chiefs against the Browns? Like, don't forget how nasty the Browns were last year, man. They surprised everybody. Their coach won coach of the season. I have a feeling this is going to be one of those massive public bets. Everyone's going Chiefs, 91%, something like that. I like the Browns. I say you buy a point, maybe two, and get them past that touchdown. The Browns are a good team. I like it. Fade the public.
Yeah, we also can't remember that their coach was coaching from his basement in that AFC divisional championship game. You know, he was in his basement coaching. He couldn't even be there on the field to really kind of understand what was going on there. I think this rematch is going to be good, man. I really think that Chad's right on that. I think that the public is going to throw a lot of money into this game. They're going to say, you know what, Mahomes doesn't lose two games in a row. He just lost the Super Bowl. He's going to come back. They're going to blow him out. And although that's a possibility, I think this Cleveland Browns team is perfectly built to go after a team like the Chiefs with the D-line, with the running game that they have. They're bringing back Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. They'll have that running back core. So, Cam, how do you feel the Browns will be able to hold up against the Chiefs with this spread?
Yeah, first thing, I don't know if you guys saw the video or the picture, actually the video, of Myles Garrett at the draft wearing his suit. And it looks like all of the buttons in his suit were going to pop off because he was literally so massive in this suit. He could, it like looked like it was going to blow up at any second. That man is a tank. This defense is scary. As we said, they added Jadeveon Clowney. They still have probably the best running back duo in the league. This game, though, is on my week one list of do not bet games. I am not going anywhere near this game. But if I did have to take a side, I'm going to have to ride with Kansas City on this one, even though I think Chad is exactly right that so it's going to be something crazy high. 91, 92% or the bets are going to be on Kansas City. Always fade the public for sure. If I were going to bet, I would take Kansas City, but like I feel like, again, like it's going to be closer than people think. I think that Kansas City is going to pull it out, but probably not cover that spread. So I would just avoid this game, honestly.
Yeah, there's a lot of games that fall under that stay away from, do not come near me, you know? Do I want to bet on the Falcons-Eagles week one after not knowing what the Falcons could be? No, I don't want to bet on that game. Not at all. I don't know how Hurts is going to turn out week one. I don't want to bet on that one. You know, so there's a lot of stuff like that. But moving on to the last game that we'll talk about for this segment before we take a quick break will be the Seahawks going into the Indianapolis Stadium to face Carson Wentz and the Colts. Carson Wentz kind of getting a second life to his career, being picked up by Coach Wright, the same guy that was the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia when they went to the Super Bowl. Frank Wright. So let's see how he can kind of pair back up with Carson Wentz, get that offense going. He'll be able to have a good offensive line. We've seen Quinton Nelson, a lot of other guys there to kind of help him and protect him in that pocket. And you also have weapons. You have a second year of the wide receiver from USC. Forgot what his name was right at the top of my head. You also have more wideouts there. You have the running back. You had the guy who rushed for the most in the season for the rookies. So we'll see how that goes. But the Colts, I think they're going to do pretty well this year with the season that doesn't have Deshaun Masseuse Watson, and you have a early Jaguars, you know, Trevor Lawrence. We'll see how that works out. But just to throw it to Chad, how do you think the Colts do this year? I know they got a lot of new moving parts, but how do you feel they fare against the rest of their division?
I think this is a big one, to be honest, because Carson Wentz, unlike Cam Newton and other people, like, he's got another shot. He's got another chance. Cam Newton, I feel like they found his replacement in Mac Jones. But I think Wentz got another shot. He's on a whole new team, whole new setup. And like you said, with someone who used to be his offensive coordinator. So don't count him out. I mean, it's going to be a fun game to watch. Absolutely. And I'm just excited to see how the Colts fare, especially against our cooking hot ass award winner of last season, Russell Wilson. So I don't know. I always have a rule to not bet for the Seahawks, but this is one of my untouchable games. I'm not touching this game. It's going to be a fun one to watch, though.
Yeah, I'm going to have to associate the Seahawks kind of like the Celtics. They're in that same category where I don't like to bet on them, but each week I find myself putting money on them and questioning why I'm doing it while I'm submitting the ticket. The worst thing about the Seahawks is, even though I may win money, the amount of years it took off of my life wasn't worth the game or wasn't worth the $30, $40 that I won, you know? So that's Seahawks syndrome right there. But like Chad said, Russ cooking hot ass. I told Cam to trail one of my bets over half interceptions last season in the playoffs. It hit miraculously. I'm telling you, I think the Colts pulled this one off. I think they pulled this one off. Blake, I see you shaking your head, so let's see your opposition. Let's hear it.
I really like the Seahawks plus 2.5 or 3, whatever that is. I mean, the Colts have a good offensive line, good defense, yes. But Carson Wentz is coming in, new system. I still don't believe in Carson Wentz. And the Seahawks, usually in the beginning of the year, they're pretty good. Russ obviously has his terrible games, but I like them getting points.
Yeah, that's actually a great observation. Russ usually starts out the year hot and then will cool down as, he starts feeling himself too much, maybe throwing a pass he shouldn't, you know, making bad decisions like that. But that'll just kind of wrap up these four games we're talking about for week one. If there's a good reason to watch any of these games, I'm telling you, the NFL's back, new talent, and the parity in this league is absolutely insane. I love the NBA, but even I would have to admit that the NFL is week to week. I couldn't tell you who's going to win any game week in, week out. Take a quick break. When we get back, we'll be talking about the strength of the conferences and divisions. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. All right, thanks for sticking with us. We are back again. We're going to talk about the conferences, the divisions. Start off with the weakest conference in the NFC. We talked about this a little before we started recording this, and I think the consensus was two things. Number one, it's probably the NFC East. You're getting the Cowboys with Dak coming back from injury. We've seen how they played out with their team last year. The defense was abysmal. You have the Washington Redskins, Fitzpatrick behind the center. They got Curtis Samuel, got some more speed on the outside. You still have Chase Young. So we'll see how that goes. But you also got some other just ass teams. The Giants may have added people, but I don't trust the Giants. You know, I'm sorry. I just don't trust them. And I think that division is probably going to be the worst one. How do you feel about that being the worst division? Because I think, again, it's probably going to be 7-9, 8-8. If you win 9 games, you're probably going and hosting a spot in the wild card game. How do you feel about that, Cam? I'll go to you first.
Yeah, I still think the NFC least are going to be the worst division in this conference. I mean, I guess Dallas maybe is going to be good, but like Dallas maybe is going to be good every year. So like you never really know like whether or not they're going to get in there. I mean, Washington still has a stacked defense. I think they have a good chance. I have no idea. Like this division's all over the place. Everybody's terrible. I don't really know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, nothing has shown us out of the last year that we're going to be getting a good league, a competitive division going on. Blake, how do you feel about this league, man? Because, or at least not the league, the division, because, wow, looks like we're going to have a lot of shit bowls going on in this one.
I think it'll be competitive because they're all bad. But this division, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to think of it. Is Daniel Jones finally going to figure it out with a pretty good set of guys on the outside? Washington, obviously, with that defense. We'll see if Dak can get it together. And the Eagles look like a mess. So I don't think it'll be very entertaining to watch these guys.
Yeah, it's going to look like a bunch of people, like two drunk guys who are just fighting and they're swinging at each other and most of them are missing. And you know they're both trying their hardest. They're trying their hardest and, oh, it looks close. Somebody can maybe swing here and catch them. Somebody can catch them with a right. But it's just so sloppy that by the end of it, you don't really even care who wins or who loses. Chad, take that one on.
Yeah, so I think the best guess or most common guess would be the NFC East, but you got to watch out for the NFC North. Rodgers might not stay with the Packers, might leave. And besides the Packers, I mean, the Vikings, not a very good team. The Lions, I know they got Goff now, but they got the same talent, either trade. So, I mean, they were 5-11 last season. So, I mean, they're not helping out the NFC North. And the Bears, I mean, they're obviously not. I mean, I'm not going to say much about the Bears, but we'll see. They're a wild card. But yeah, so I mean, keep an eye out for the NFC North, man. I mean, the NFC as a whole just not doing well.
Yeah, we all need to light a vigil and say a prayer for the Detroit Lions ticket offices because nobody is going to buy tickets to watch Jared Goff man that offense. Oh, man. Whew. I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking. You're right. It all depends on Aaron Rodgers, what he does. Cam, what do you want to say about your Chicago Bears? Maybe how you feel about Justin Fields right now and how the Bears have a great defense. So if he could even play as a B-, you have a shot to make the playoffs. How do you feel about this whole situation going on in the Windy City?
All right. Well, first of all, we made the playoffs last year. But secondly, I am glad that we do still have Andy Dalton on this roster because we play the Rams week one, and I'm glad we're going to use Andy Dalton as a sacrificial lamb to protect Fields from getting slaughtered by Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey week one. I think it'll probably take 4 or 5 games of Andy Dalton throwing 2 to 3 picks per game before Fields gets to take over as the starter. And as somebody who has suffered through many a Bears games, as you mentioned already, our defense is always good. We still got Khalil Mack, we still got Roquan Smith, like the secondary is still together. So as long as our quarterback doesn't make us lose, you have a chance to win every game. The problem is the quarterbacks in our past, like Trubisky, even though he's the MVP, not MVP, don't forget about that. Put some respect on Mitch.
The slime goat, the Nickelodeon slime MVP.
Goat, right, Nickelodeon MVP. That man did make us lose lots of games, even when our defense kept giving us a chance to win those. So Fields is serious. Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay. Bears could win the division. That's all I'm going to say. We'll see, though.
I'm going to keep it at this, and then we're going to move on. Trubisky actually turned out to be the second-best quarterback in that class. We'll hold it there, but at the same time, we're going to go and switch to the toughest division in the NFC. And my pick is going to be the NFC West. That division is absolutely loaded. You're talking about the 49ers. Getting back a healthy group, Kittle, Garoppolo, Nick Bosa coming back from the torn ACL in week one, week two. You have Mostert coming back. You draft Trey Lance, so you have him sitting behind and watching Garoppolo and maybe even take over if they see enough from him in the practice sessions that maybe he can actually make it really work on Sunday. So we'll see what happens there. You also have the LA Rams reloaded with Matthew Stafford at the helm, quarterbacking that center. And you also have the Cardinals, who also got more players. Kyler Murray, another year to kind of get that chemistry with him and DeAndre. And lastly, Russ, the Seahawks, cooking hot ass. It's going to be very competitive. Blake, how do you feel about the competition? And then we'll go to Cam.
Yeah, I completely agree. This is the best division in the NFC. Kyler Murray is just kind of trapped there. He's going to be screwed for a while, I think. But, yeah, we'll see how Trey Lance and Kyle Shanahan do in their first year. And then Russ, we'll see if he cooks hot ass or what. But, yeah, it's a really tough division, and there will definitely be at least two teams coming out of the of it for the playoffs.
Yeah, Blake, I definitely agree with you. Jay, I'm actually really surprised you didn't mention your Niners picked up – or not your Niners, but the Niners picked up your boy Trey Sermon. You weren't going to – I know you love that man.
I honestly didn't even know the Niners picked up Trey Sermon. A little backstory on why I love that man is because when he was facing – was it Clemson? It was Clemson.
Yeah, it was Clemson.
And I tweeted out on our Lock It or Leave It Twitter account. Go check it out, Lock It or Leave. It was saying – it was the meme of – Goofy
meme,
yeah, the Goofy meme where they're just handing the ball off to Trey Sermon and he's just running for a first down every time. It's either 15 yards, 11 yards, 26 yards. He's hurdling people, he's sidestepping dudes, he's just making people miss. And I tweeted out every single time he gets a first down, he's like Goofy because he's just saying, I'll just fucking do it again. I'll fucking do it again. It's the whole thing. He will not stop. This guy is really good. I didn't even know he went there, but they already have so many people in the backfield. So I guess they're going to do a running back by committee thing going on in San Francisco, but I really like what they're doing with that division. It's a dogfight and a bloodbath week in and week out.
Yeah, that division is definitely something serious. And, I mean, again, San Francisco just got wrecked by injuries last year. Getting Nick Bosa back is going to be huge. And as you mentioned, bro, I feel for Kyler, man, because I really like watching him play. He's like an aggressive, angry toddler running around out there in the football field, just dancing around people. And he's very entertaining to watch, obviously, like the Hail Mary last season. He actually trademarked that, which is a big flex, got to say. Got to give him credit for that. Obviously, the Rams are still scary. I mean, is Matthew Stafford going to be the guy to take the Rams over the hump this year? Would love to see that. That defense is obviously nasty with Donald and Ramsey. So, yeah, this division is still the best. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, just quick food for thought for all you guys, man. This is very interesting. I just thought of this. With the NBA going to the play-in style, we may see the NFL soon at some point in the next 5, maybe 10 years, go and switch to a non-divisional conference. Because when we're thinking about it, you have four of the top, I'd say, 8 teams in that conference in one division in the NFC West. It's loaded. Right now, you're seeing Brady just sit back saying, all right, I'm facing the Saints without Breeze twice a year. I'm facing Carolina with a new quarterback in Sam Darnold and a relatively new head coach. I'm facing the Atlanta Falcons, where Matt Ryan is still a big question mark. And their defense is terrible. So I can sit back and I know 6 games out of the year, if we do what we're supposed to do, those are games that we should win. Now you're having quarterbacks in the NFC West saying, even if I play well, even if I have one of the best games of my career, it's still a toss-up with the competition that we have. So maybe they say, you know what, the divisions are kind of not allowing the best teams to be able to play each other long-term. Let's switch the format and allow it actually to rank 1 through however many playoff teams. Just food for thought. May not happen. The NFL is always set in their ways, but let's go and move on to the next conference, which is the AFC. Martino, who do you think, Blake, is the worst or the least competitive division in the AFC?
Let's see. I guess we would probably be looking at the AFC South, right? We got the Texans with no Deshaun Watson. Likely. You have the Titans, who will be pretty good. You got the Colts with Carson Wentz. That's a question mark. And then who am I forgetting? Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence. So not a lot going on there. Probably the Titans probably win that division. And they'll probably be pretty good. But other than that.
Yeah, I'm going to put in a quick vote for the NFC East. Is that the one with the Patriots, if I get that correctly? The AFC East. I just think that I get it. The Patriots are coming back. I don't think they're going to pose that big of a threat. I don't think the Dolphins are going to pose that big of a threat. I think the Bills are still going to coast to that division. I don't think there's too much competition going on, so it's going to be great. But yeah, the AFC clearly is absolutely loaded. The quarterback talent in the AFC is just, it's so hard to get through. Each quarterback, each team feels like they have a franchise quarterback at the helm. So Cam, how do you feel about Blake's take there with the AFC South maybe being the worst one in the conference?
See, I actually might have a hot, you guys might disagree with me, but I actually disagree with both of you guys. I think the least competitive division is going to still be the AFC West. It's just Mahomes dominating those. I don't think the Raiders are going to be, good. I mean, they're going to be good, but like not on the same level as Kansas City. Kansas City went 14-2 last year, and the next best team was 8-8. Like, if we're talking about least competitive, it's just Kansas City steamrolling everybody in that division. I don't think the Chargers are going to be still able to keep up, and Drew Lock is certainly not going to get it done with Denver. So as far as least competitive, I'm going with the AFC West.
I'm super interested to see what Justin Herbert is able to do in year two with a new head coach. That's not Anthony Lynn. I love Anthony, but he's pissing away games at the end of regulation. You know, he's lost too many one possession games. Justin Herbert is going to be, he's a great quarterback. We've seen that, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see what he can do with the Chargers. Maybe if he can reverse their bad fortune coming on. Cam, you've been aching to talk, so let me go to you first.
This will be real quick. I just had to mention nobody, and I mean nobody, last season blew more games for me than Anthony Lynn. Oh my God, the amount of times I would needed the Chargers to perform, and it was, I'll never forget. I still have nightmares about it. Against the Saints, it was like 24-3 at halftime, and Jay had already sent me the bring me my money meme, and I was like, oh my gosh, and then they blew that game. Nobody, Anthony Lynn, that guy still gives me nightmares. All right, Chad, go ahead. Sorry.
You are all good. So you mentioned competitiveness. Is that within that division itself or within the conference or just throughout the league?
Within the division. So like the NFC East is, it's very competitive, but they're not entertaining games per se. So just teams that are the strongest teams throughout the conference that are paired in that division. Like the NFC West, we see that the 49ers, the Rams, the Seahawks, the Cardinals are all really good teams. And they're all jockeying for who can win that division. We're seeing in the in other divisions that all these teams actually have a spot at it. The one with the Bengals and the Steelers, that one's going to be good. So a lot of options there.
Okay, so I'm gonna have to agree with Cam. To be honest, I think it's the AFC West. Besides the Chiefs being such a massive outlier, the Raiders, Chargers, and Broncos are some of the three most boring teams to watch in the NFL right now. I hate watching Raiders games. Especially that Raiders Jets game where they had to chuck it to Ruggs. It was unbelievable. It's just not entertaining to me. I mean, Chargers games, they're cool because they're young. But yeah, I go AFC West. I agree with Ken.
All right. Well, then segueing to the best in the conference, the best in the divisions, I'm going to have to go with the unorthodox one. I'm going with the one that I just mentioned, the Bengals, the Steelers, the Browns, the Ravens. I like watching Joe Burrow. He's just, dude, he's the man, bro. Like, seeing what he did in LSU, picking apart that Clemson defense, really showing the draft scouts that, hey, Trevor Lawrence may be going number one next year, but I'm the number one pick, you best believe, this year. So, you know, he really proved his claim. It's good seeing Baker Mayfield, the story for the Browns, after being such a heralded and, you know, just franchise that was always stuck in a rut for the past two decades. It's good to see them finally out the mud, and their fans are great in the dog pound. Well, seeing the last years of Ben Roethlisberger, enjoy these years because he will be a Hall of Famer. And these are the last years we're going to get of him. And then we'll see Lamar Jackson and see what he can do in another year with the Ravens. He's always progressed year to year. He started off, lost in the first game, came back, did it again. But he progressed the next round. Let's see how they do. That whole division seems like a dogfight. I really don't think that's going to be as separated and maybe uneven as other people may think. Chad, how do you feel about that?
I completely agree. I think they're all four great teams. And not only that, but they all four have something unique to them. Like the Steelers, you still got Big Ben. He's an old guy, but he's a stud, you know, Super Bowl caliber quarterback. You got Lamar, the best running back in the league. The man is just entertaining to watch, you know. The Browns, you got Baker Mayfield. You know, he didn't have a great start to his career, but he finally just started coming around. He's balling. And then you got the young stud, you got Joe Burrow, and you just got his man, Ja'Marr Chase. So, yeah, it's a great division. I think it might be the best division in the league, actually, to be honest with you. It's entertainment-wise, it's got everything.
Well, staying on the rookies that we just talked about, let's do a major left turn and just go to what we're going to talk about for the next segment, which is Offensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Rookie of the Year. I'm going to start with you, Cam. Who do you think is going to be the Defensive Player of the Year? Let's start with that pick because this draft has a lot of good guys in it. So let's see what picks that we all have.
Man, Defensive Player of the Year is tough. There's a lot of good options, and I don't think he's going to win it, but I want to shout out Patrick Surtain because I love that man, and I really hope he does win it. I don't think he will. But I got to go with my favorite defensive player in the draft, and Micah Parsons, the Cowboys. I love that guy. I think he's the best defensive player in the draft. The Cowboys have major holes on defense. He's going to have lots of dudes running at him. He's going to have lots of opportunities to make big plays. So that's the guy I'm going to ride with.
Yeah, so Patrick Surtain, he was one of the two top corners coming out. Chad, what's your pick for the defensive rookie of the year?
So I'm agreeing with Cam. I'm going with Micah Parsons, partly because I wanted us to draft him, the Dolphins, and we just didn't get a chance. The Cowboys snatched him up before we could, and I was kind of bummed out. But, yeah, I mean, besides corners, like, there's a lot of great corners and safeties in this draft. He's one of the standout linebackers. He is a unit, and I think he's kind of flown under the radar a little bit, and he's going to prove himself this season. So he's my pick as well.
All right, Blake, let's hear yours.
Yeah, so I think you guys might think it's a little surprising. I'm going to take J.C. Horn, the corner that went to the Panthers. I think he went 8 overall. I watched a little bit of his highlights, and super physical, always making a play on the ball. And him, and they have Jeremy Chinn, right, the safety they took last year, who was ended up being pretty good in his first year. So those two together, I like him a lot. So we'll see. I also think Patrick Surtain has a chance for sure.
Yeah, it's really interesting because both Surtain and J.C. Horn's parents played in the league. So they have that they kind of have that background. They know what to expect. Their parents will be there. Cam, what do you want to add on?
Blake, one thing I want to say about J.C. Horn is he better be balling, because he posted on Instagram and said he's wearing number 8 for Kobe. So you can't post like that and not ball. So, I mean, I hope he has a good year.
Yeah, absolutely. So then let's switch over to the Offensive Rookie of the Year. And I'm going to start off with mine. I really think that Ja'Marr Chase is going to capture this award, man. I just think with how much the Bengals are going to be passing with all their weapons, that camaraderie, that chemistry from the start, I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to be their true number one wide receiver. You may have somebody on the outside like Auden Tate, a bigger receiver. He's going to be playing a lot of slot inside. He can go outside, too, because he burned A.J. Terrell in that national championship game. So he can do both. I think it's going to be Ja'Marr Chase just based off the sheer amount of impact he'll have. Yeah, you may want to say Devontae Smith, but I think Hurts is still a question mark. Same thing with Waddle in Miami. You don't know how Tua will be able to give him the ball. I know that Burrow connection to Ja'Marr Chase is already solidified. How do we feel about Ja'Marr Chase being Offensive Rookie of the Year? And if not, who will win it? Chad, I'll start with you.
So you mentioned all three guys I was going to talk about, believe it or not. So there's two people I would love to win it. Waddle, obviously, because, you know, he was our first draft pick. And Devonta Smith, just because of how much of a hater Cam has been on him. He's been undersized. He's been doubted his whole career. This man's a winner. Yeah, I mean, he just won the Heisman. He was the first receiver to do it since, like, what, 91? I mean, the kid's got so much potential. He can put on weight. He's still so young. Don't count him out. But I don't think they're going to win it. I agree with you. I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to win it simply due to that connection. I mean, they've played together for so long. Yeah. I mean, it's the timing, their speed. You go to the NFL, there's all these people that are way faster than what you're used to, but you're used to Ja'Marr Chase, you know, his pace, you know, his cadence. So they just got that natural chemistry together. And I think it's going to fly really well this season.
Yeah, absolutely.
first things first, since Chad had to call me out over here, I never said he would be bad. All I said was I would take Chase and Jalen Waddle before Smith, only because back when they were both together, Waddle was wide receiver one before he got hurt when they were on the same team. I know he won the Heisman, but I still think the size difference. I know he's a great route runner. I'm not saying he's going to be a bad wide receiver. That's not what I'm saying. He's still behind Waddle, and he's still behind Chase. Chase is 6'3", 190. Come on. Like, that's a big difference from 5'10", or whatever Devontae Smith is. I just – the size difference in the NFL is a big thing. But I don't think it's going to be either of those guys that's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think we learned our lesson last year with Justin Jefferson. Wide receivers, no matter how good they're going to be, are not going to win it. People vote for quarterbacks. It's going to be a quarterback. If Justin Jefferson couldn't win it last year, none of those three guys are going to win it this year. So even I have to ride with Justin Fields, baby. There's no way I can't not – go for my guy. I think once Andy Dalton throws like 6 or 7 or 10 interceptions, however many it takes for him to get pulled, maybe he'll – I'm really hoping Jalen Ramsey can get me like 2 week 1. That would be a great start, you know. It's going to be really fun rooting for the other team for the first couple of Bears games until I can get Justin Fields out there. But if it's not Justin Fields because he doesn't play enough games, got to ride with Trevor Lawrence. That guy is ridiculous. Blake, what do you got to say?
All right, you said exactly what I was going to say about Justin Jefferson. It's going to be none of those receivers because Justin Jefferson had like 90 catches and 1,400 yards last year and didn't win it. So that being said, it is going to be a quarterback, and I'm taking Trey Lance. I think it's just basically most on situation and the team around him, but and Shanahan being one of the best offensive coaches in the game. So I'll take Trey Lance, but it probably will be deserved to go to one of those skill players, but they just won't get it, and that's just the way it is.
All right, so follow-up question there. Are we saying that Trevor Lawrence is going to consensusly, overwhelmingly, are we all going to say that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the best quarterback in that class, and they're all faring for the number two spot, or are we saying that Trey Lance has the potential to go and eclipse him at number one? Cam, let me start with you.
So here's what I'm going to say. I think next season, Trevor Lawrence is going to have the most passing yards out of any of those guys. I'm not saying he's going to be the best quarterback in the class, but Trevor Lawrence is going to start week one. We don't know about Fields. We don't know when Trey Lance and Fields both have to earn their ways above the guys ahead of them. Same with Mac Jones behind Cam Newton. So I'm going to have to – this year, I would ride with Trevor Lawrence based on the stats based on volume, because he's going to have more ability to put up those numbers versus those guys that have to earn their stripes. Obviously, if Trey Lance can get a start earlier, he's got lots of weapons with Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, and George Kittle, lots of weapons around him, and a great coach like Shanahan, obviously he could get it done as well. Fields, electrifying athlete. I don't know if you guys saw this, but on the NFL aptitude test, Justin Fields had the highest score out of anybody. Patrick Mahomes had a 110. Justin Fields scored a 130. Think about that.
I take those with a grain of salt. I put no stock into any of those little tests and field things that they run. We saw that Nick Caserio, the coach for the Eagles, did rock, paper, scissors with a player during the draft review to say, just wanted to see how much of a competitor he was. So, yeah, I don't.
I love that. I love that energy.
I don't like that one bit. I say that you put them on the field and they're a competitor. They're not when they're playing a meaningless game of rock, paper, scissors. With that being said, I really think that Trevor Lawrence, with the amount of hype that he's getting, the amount of everything, the new coach going for him, they're really going to go and just bring out all the stops and all the wheels for him. I think the Jaguars, in 2-3 years, we'll be winning that division. I don't know how long the Derrick Henry thing can last in Tennessee. So I really think that the Jaguars are going to be the new face of that division. I like what the Titans are doing right now, but I'm saying that I think the Trevor Lawrence experiment will work. I think the Trey Lance experiment will work. I also think the Justin Fields experiment will work. I'm just questionable about Zach Wilson right now because New York just seems to be a quarterback killer. It's going to be very interesting to see how he goes from Brigham Young Christian University to the New York Jets, where he gets tackled. And when he's on the ground, everybody's just yelling slurs and just everything. So we're going to see how he adjusts to it. We saw him at the draft. He looked a little uncomfortable next to all the other draft picks in the top 10. We'll see how he fares with his new teammates, but how do you feel about that, Kim? Anything you want to add on?
Yeah, I just want to ask you, do you think that Justin Fields will end up being better than Zach Wilson, even if they both stayed in like their current spots? Because obviously Ohio State has been known to have quarterback struggle in the NFL, and the Bears are also known for just slaughtering young QBs' careers. So if they both stay at their current spots, who do you like more?
I'm going to go with Fields just because I don't know about – it's a question mark about how I feel with Saleh. Saleh's a very defensive coach, so whoever they're bringing in to be the QB coach is going to have a lot of sway with him. Not going to be the same with the head coach, who's a defensive guy. I think that Matt Nagy was there for the first year of Mahomes, there for the second year of Mahomes even. He was there when Mahomes was on the bench. He was the one that was coaching him up in the QB position before he even had any playing time. He was just sitting behind Alex Smith. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they do there. But I'd say Justin Fields, just because Nagy has that experience with a superstar quarterback, knowing how to grow, cultivate him, maybe when to put the gas pedal on and maybe when to relax a little bit. I think he'll just be better for that. So I'm going to go with Justin Fields. But then again, I mean, the future is untold. No one knows. It's going to be very interesting to say. Blake, how do you feel about that? Because it's a very good question.
Yeah, I would say, first off, it's so 5 first-round quarterbacks this year, right? I would say 2 or 3 of them are going to end up being basically busts in the league. That's just how the stats work. Sure, there's usually about 2 or 3 guys that end up being a bust. So we could say maybe Zach Wilson's one. Who will be the other? But, I mean, Zach also, he has a lot of arm talent. We'll see if he can break the curse there in New York. But yeah, I'll take Fields in that question just because it's easier to get on board with that than the upside of Zach Wilson.
Well, yeah, so to wrap that up, we'll just talk about week one a little bit. Guys, these are must-watch games, man. Starting off with Dallas, Tampa Bay, the Eagles, the Falcons. You're going to be able to see Kyle Pitts and that new Falcons offense going up against Jalen Hurts starting at QB. We'll be getting the Vikings, the Bengals, a healthy Joe Burrow back. 49ers, Lions, see the new Jared Goff in Detroit. A lot of good games that we'll be seeing, so we just can't miss these games. We're going to take one quick break and talk about the last segment, which is a quick NBA outlook. The NBA playoffs are on the horizon, and it's getting real good. So stay with us, and we'll be talking about it when we get right back. All right, so we are back. Thanks for sticking with us again. The last thing we're going to talk about, the thing that I always look most forward to talking about, which is the NBA, guys. It's the postseason coming up very soon, and it's going to be very good. Fireworks coming. I'm going to list what we're each looking forward to in this playoffs. I'm going to start off with the Knickerbockers are back. The New York Knicks. It's insane to see what they are doing right now. They're the 4 seed. Atlanta's the 5. Miami's the 6. All tied with the same record. So we don't know what the seeding will be. But I am hoping and praying for New York Knicks to beat the Atlanta Hawks in the first round and go up against the Brooklyn Nets. And like I said before, even if the Knicks lose, the Nets can finally realize, no matter what they do, it is still going to be a Knicks town in New York. That's what I'm looking forward to. What we're seeing out of Julius Randle is something spectacular. He's turned himself from an 18 points per game scorer to winning most improved player and leading that New York Knicks team to a top 4 seed currently in that conference. So I'm going to throw it to you, Cam, to what are you looking forward to for this postseason coming up? A lot of things going on, a lot of options.
Yeah, every night before I've gone to bed, I have been, I lay my head against my pillow and I pray and I manifest this energy of a play-in game with Golden State and Steph Curry against LeBron and Anthony Davis. And I pray as I go to bed every single night and manifest all my energy in the Steph Curry putting 60 on the Lakers. I would love to see, I don't know if you guys saw that clip of like it's a compilation of like 4 dudes quadruple teaming Steph on like a bunch of different possessions. I can't wait to see that. And he just does a little behind the back shimmy super deep three, turns around, is already jogging back while LeBron's staring at the basketball going right in the net. That is what I am most excited for. I'm manifesting that energy, and I need to see this happen. I really, really hope everybody stays right where they are right now. What do you got to say, Jay?
I have already contacted a Malaysian witch doctor who is very good at voodoo. I'm telling you, we have a Steph Curry voodoo doll. On that day of the game, we will be pricking it with needles, making sure that he will not have a good game. Because the last thing that I am looking forward to, the last thing that I don't want to happen is have Cam FaceTime me with a look of pure glee and elation on his face as Steph Curry's end box score is 65-7-4 after he beats the Lakers and claims the number 7 seed. Chad, what are you looking forward to? Because that is my worst and absolute nightmare.
Well, there's no gypsy magic going on for me. For me, it's pretty much just not even a game. Obviously, it's an expected answer for me to say. I'm really excited to see what the Heat can do, you know, because they're always a wild card going into the playoffs. But I'm most excited for the Lakers. I mean, they have all these expectations, and they need to stay healthy. And everyone's saying that they're just, you know, they're kind of being the opposite of what the Jazz are being. You know, they're pretending to be bad, and they're going to come and fucking kill some guys. So that's honestly who I'm most excited to see, just the Lakers and how everything pans out.
Chad, one thing I want to say about your Heat real quick. First of all, they have been playing excellent basketball as of late, and I've been known to hate on the Heat. But what I really want to see in the first round from the Heat is that rematch with the Bucks and Giannis. I would love to see that again. I mean, if Giannis – I love Giannis, and I really wish he could – he would have not stayed in Milwaukee and, like, made himself a super team and actually be competing for championships right now. But if he can't get over the hump this year, which I don't think he is going to, it's just going to be really hard for him. So I would love to see another rematch with the Heat and see if he's – progressed from last season, and that's a series I would love to watch.
Quick rhetorical question before we hop on to Blake's pick for the playoffs, man, is Cam. You always talk about how the bubble is why the Heat pulled off that miraculous upset over the Bucks. If they play in the first round this year, 3-6, and the Heat do win, I will need a signed letter of an apology from you. I think Chad will also need one also. Because you have been spewing blasphemy, trying to say that the bubble is the reason why all these teams couldn't hold up to their weight and beat the lower seeded teams. Blake, take it away. What are you looking forward to?
You gotta let me respond to that real quick. First of all, yes, it was the perfect storm for the Heat last season. That was the worst finals team we've seen, probably since LeBron dragged those bums to the finals back in Cleveland in the early years. But I will agree with you. If it happens this year and we do get that 3-6 or whatever that matchup is for those teams to play each other, I would love to see. And if the Heat do succeed and beat the Bucks, I will. I'll write you both signed letters of apology. And just like you apologize to Steph Curry for the hate, I will have to be the bigger man and admit I was wrong. I'm okay with that. And Blake, go ahead.
All right, good shit. If it's not going to be a year for the Lakers, one thing I'd like to see maybe deeper into the playoffs, maybe Western Conference Finals, Phoenix and the Clippers. I want to see, you know, it's kind of like you got CP3 and Devin Booker, obviously, against kind of the two old guys, Kawhi and PG, and see if PG cannot hit the side of the backboard this time. But that would be like a really good matchup, I think. And I'm just kind of a lot of superstars on the court there. I'm really also mad about the Jamal Murray injury because I like watching the Nuggets in the playoffs. But other than that, I'm sure I'll be good with all those teams.
Yeah, great topic that you just mentioned with the Suns-Clippers. A lot of storylines going on in that matchup. We saw the last time they played, Booker and PG were talking to each other. They actually both got ejected because Booker called him a bitch. He said, bro, you're a bitch. I don't respect you, bro. He's like, yo, like, you're not cut from the same cloth I'm cut from. So that's cut there. We also have the Rondo CP3 feud that's been going back to 2008. Rondo has spit in his face, punched CP3 in the face. When asked post-game about what happened, about the game, he just called CP3 and referred to him as number three. Didn't even say his name. He said, well, you know, number three was trying to do this. Didn't even want to acknowledge him. Paul George in the post game recently after losing to the Suns was asked a question about how good CP3 was as a leader, and he simply replied, "Next question." So we see the animosity is feuding between these two teams. I think they both want to see each other in the playoffs. It'll be fireworks for sure. But like we said, there's more reason to watch these games. Sports is ramping up. Parlay season is in full swing. Baseball, NBA, NFL on the horizon with the picks you can do now with the schedule coming out. Stay tuned. A lot of great stuff coming. But let's stay here for signouts and start off with Blake. Any last words you want to say? Maybe an outlook to the playoffs or your Ravens for the next season coming up.
Yeah, looking forward to these NBA playoffs. And if the lines stay where they are, Ravens -5.5 week one, slam it, call right now, put 100 on it. Done.
All right, so if you see that ticket, I think we need to see your ticket, the screenshot of it. We'll post it to make sure that your money is where your mouth is, because that's our whole motto for this entire brand. Chad, any sign-off things you want to say? What's going on?
Yeah, man, I just can't wait for the NFL to be back. Finally get to winning some real money. Because I'm going to do the same thing. I'll send you my ticket, whatever it takes. I'm putting at least 50 on the fence. I'm telling you right now. When I know it's a lock and you go by the same motto, I'm putting 50 on it. Absolutely. I might put 100. Who knows? But I love the fence, and I love the pod. Glad to be back.
Yeah, the NFL season is like one of the best times of the year, because not only does the NFL come back, but we also get to go back to Florida State. It's not like schools where you dread going back. No. I love it. I want to go back. I can't wait. A lot of stuff is going to be fun coming up this year, but we've got a lot of great stuff going on. Last but not least, the co-host Cam. Cam, what do you want to add on? Anything you want to say?
Yeah, Chad, I'm going to match whatever you put on the Fins week one. It's going on the Pats, and I'm going to match that with you.
Fire me the fuck
week
up.
Week one, we're going at it right away.
Ooh.
Okay.
Tickets will be posted.
Oh, yeah. Other than that, whatever you do, I'll match it. We'll get into it. And then we'll be back together by then in Tallahassee tearing it up. So, yeah, just keep interacting with us on Twitter and everything. And definitely check out the website if you haven't been there yet. And another great episode. We got more guests coming up for you guys. So stay tuned.
Yeah, exactly. So www.lockitorleaveit.org. What we're going to do is we're actually going to start putting our bets down on the website, so you can see what we think are the best bets for each sport. You can track how we do and actually know if we're making money or not. Because if you look at it, we're making bank. And we want to be able to give you guys the free money that right now you're not accessible to. So we'll get that going for you guys. But thank you for listening once again. We will see you next time. And yeah, we'll see you next time. Peace.